entity. Hamas called the announcement a declaration of war. In Baghdad, U.S. civilians have been sequestered in the heavily fortified Green Zone following the Iraqi government's suspension of the embassy's private security force, Blackwater. Blackwater guards are under investigation for a gunfight and airstrike in a Baghdad neighborhood Sunday that killed as many as 20 civilians. Blackwater is also under investigation by a congressional committee for allegedly smuggling illegal weaponry into Iraq. The probe is part of a larger examination of a possible security lapse in the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. A major This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, U.S. civilians have been sequestered in the heavily fortified Green Zone following the Iraqi government's suspension of the embassy's private security force, Blackwater. Blackwater guards are under investigation for a gunfight and airstrike in a Baghdad neighborhood Sunday that killed as many as 20 civilians. Blackwater is also under investigation by a congressional committee for allegedly smuggling illegal weaponry into Iraq. The probe is part of a larger examination of possible security lapses in the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. In Cambodia, a leading commander of the genocidal Khmer Rouge regime was arrested today and will stand trial before the country's UN-backed war crimes tribunal. More than 2 million people were murdered during Pol Pot's dictatorship. Anti-government demonstrations continue in Myanmar today, where soldiers continue to beat Buddhist monks protesting violence. Citizens first took to the streets a month ago opposing sudden fuel hikes. The dictatorship's response is what is now sparking protests. Typhoon Weifa slammed into eastern China this morning, soaking coastal areas and knocking out power to tens of thousands. Forecasters downgraded the storm as it moved inland. No casualties were reported. The Federal Reserve yesterday lowered its overnight interest rate by half a point to 4.75%. The Dow reacted with its biggest gain in 5 years. Money markets were lifted around the world. A Maryland Court of Appeals threw out a challenge to the state's ban on same-sex marriage. The court found constitutional Maryland's 1973 law defining marriage as a union only between a man and a woman. Advocates say they'll take their case to the state Supreme Court. Formal charges have been filed against O.J. Simpson for allegedly participating in the armed robbery of sports memorabilia in a Las Vegas hotel room. Simpson is being held without bail on 10 felonies. In Los Angeles, the jury considering murder charges against record producer Phil Spector announced it is at an impasse after 9 days of deliberations. The judge says he is considering permitting the panel to consider lesser charges. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The CDC says America's elderly are now the group with the highest risk of suicide. Experts say mental health monies are not available for a population often shunted aside. Researchers also say the problem is likely to escalate as the number of aging baby boomers increases. A subsidiary of Express Scripts will pay $10.5 million to settle charges it provided celebrities with human growth hormone. The company also agreed to cooperate with federal prosecutors in their continuing investigation. In August, wholesale prices fell by 1.4%, the steepest decline in 10 months. Economists say the decrease reflects cheaper fuel costs and falling food prices. Shares of the Kroger grocery chain rose 7.5% after the company announced its quarterly profit surged 28% on revenues topping $16 billion. Silicon Valley Adobe Systems reported its quarterly profits more than doubled as a result of a whopping 41% jump in revenues. Quarterly sales set a record for the company, $851.7 million. Light's sweet crude is trading at a record $82.15 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is up as well, $732.70 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
right.
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Boxed, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Well, all right, everybody, welcome aboard Fox Stuff here for a... What is it? It's Wednesday morning for those of you up there. It's early Thursday morning here in Australia. John Fox, your host here. I was listening to Bruce yesterday, and I suddenly was reminded about how bad I am at doing timestamps. So it's about 6 minutes past the hour wherever you are, which means it's 6 minutes past midnight here. And we got a full plate, and we're gonna be doing a little bit of Jimi Hendrix today because it's 37 years ago this week that one of the greatest guitar innovators in the history of modern music unfortunately passed away. And I'll be reading a little bit of a blog post from the Sydney Morning Herald on kind of the mess that has been that has followed his death, with his image and his label and his recordings. And it's one of those really, really kind of messy situations. But before I get into it, I've got angry stuff. I've got more on that whole B-52 flight and the nukes and the dead soldiers stuff. Came across some really great links. We'll be getting there. But I got to tell you about a film I just finished watching. Folks sometimes ask, they'll see something like, they'll ask things like, I saw Crocodile Dundee 2. Is that what Australians are like? And it's like, I'll tell you what. You want to know, you're going to have a chance to really, really, really see kind of what Australia is like and the Australian psyche and persona. Coming very soon to the United States is a very, very cute little film called Kenny. Now, this started off as a short put together by a couple of brothers, and it kind of shot in the great, kind of shot in a similar tradition of Spinal Tap and Best of Show, and A Mighty Wind. It wasn't strictly scripted. It was done very freeform. It's kind of done mockumentary style, and it's about a guy who works for a portaloo company. Now, I know this sounds like you're going, geez, what are you telling us, to go see a movie that's going to have a whole bunch of poo jokes? Well, that's not really what it is. It is one of the most heart-filled films I have watched in a long time. Not much budget, but this film stayed in the top 10 in Australia for 43 weeks. Now, it started off as a short film, and it went to one of the film festivals here, and the guys thought, you know, we'll do this thing, see what happens. Well, people loved it. They were expecting people to just walk out, and people loved it. And then, shock horror, the Portaloo company, they call them Dunnies here, the Dunny company here that they had worked with, and the guy who plays Kenny, the character of Kenny, used to do production management, you know, stuff, you know, the productions like I used to be involved in, you know, big concerts, dance parties, things like that. And so they do this little film, and they had contact with this big, you know, Portaloo company. And the Portaloo company was so ecstatic that they wanted to turn this thing into a feature film. And so this film was actually financed by a Dunny company. And I'm telling you, you know, it just absolutely one of the most hysterical, funny films. And at one point, the character ends up going to Nashville for this big national Dunny convention. 10 acres of toilets. And this is a real convention. And this thing's going to be coming to the States really, really soon. They've sold it. It's coming. You have to see this film. It is one of the and what's really funny is that there's two brothers. One's the director, the other one plays Kenny. And then the guy who plays Kenny's father is the actor's father. The young man who plays his son is the director's son. And it's all their kind of family and friends and actually real crew members from this Portaloo company. And they make some of the most interesting and fascinating characters. And one of the things that makes this film really brilliant, and I know I'm kind of going on about this, but seriously, just Kenny in your head. It's just too funny. Just mark it. And when you see it pop up in your local theater, go drop the money and see this film. You will laugh your ass off, and it's just absolutely a riot. And the way they promoted this thing was actually for Jacobson, the actor, to go out and do the interviews in character. And when they did this, it just became the biggest thing. And interestingly enough, the folks that actually do this work for real have found that since this film came out, people are nicer to them. At the dance parties, the disasters that would be their portaloos are a whole lot cleaner than they used to be. People have stopped peeing on the floors of the things. It's actually had an effect on the real industry, and it's truly Australian. Taking something that no one would really ever want to talk about, mix it with a really touching story, and making human a group of people that really no one ever pays any attention to. You go to any event, these facilities are there. And, I mean, like I said, there's some hysterical stuff. Most of it's done on hand cam, and it really feels as though it's real. In fact, when they did the original short, people were walking out thinking that it was a real documentary. They didn't think it was a spoof. So, you know, like I said, just check out Kenny. It's coming to the U.S. soon. It's absolutely bloody brilliant. We, Gail and I were just crying watching this film. So anyway, enough about Kenny the Dunny Man. But it was just absolutely a riot. So I tell you what, we're going to take our first break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get into some stuff. And like I said, today's we're going to have a bit of Jimi Hendrix throughout the day today, and that's, of course, what is going to be our track of the day. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be back right after this.
If the sun refuses to shine, I don't mind. If the mountains fell in the sea, let it be.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Hi, kids. Peter Godbold here. Join me at 9 p.m. Eastern for GLBT Conversation Radio. But I warn you, it's just a tiny bit Southern.
Part of safe winter driving is being prepared and informed. It's easy, thanks to three simple digits, 511. Call 511 in Kansas to get route-specific road condition, construction, and travel weather information on every highway across the state. And it's a free service. Don't get caught in unsafe winter driving conditions. On the phone and on the web, 511 and 511.ksdot.org. 511 travel information all the time, when you need it, where you need it. This message brought to you by the Kansas Department of Transportation.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And like I said, 37 years ago today, I'm gonna talk about Jimi Hendrix here for a bit. I'm gonna save the angry stuff for after the track of the day, I think. Jimi Hendrix, born November 27th, 1942, and died September 18th, 1970. Self-taught guitarist, Hendrix usually played a Stratocaster. Roddy, Roddy, Roddy. We know all this. There is this wonderful, though, piece at the Sydney Morning Herald, and I have a link to it on today's show post. Jimi Hendrix's messy afterlife. And it's amazing what can happen when money is involved with art and death. It's just, it can be really, really frightening. this week marks this is written by. Doesn't even credit who this is from. It doesn't, does it? Oh. Anyway, it's from the Sydney Morning Herald. This week marks the anniversary of the tragic death of Jimi Hendrix, a genius who not only played music but changed how it was played forever. And this is without a doubt. That was only the beginning of the tragedy. At the time of his death, was shrouded in mystery, controversy, and conspiracy, culminating in the suicide years later of Monica Daneman, who was with him at the time. But it didn't stop there. In spite of Hendrix verbally requesting that he be buried in England, his body was returned to his hometown, Seattle, for burial. The headstone depicted a Stratocaster guitar, mistakenly depicted as the instrument of a right-handed player, while Jimmy's remains were dug up years later to be placed in a memorial gravesite nearby that still remains unfinished to this day. But the debacle doesn't stop there. Fans making a donation will have their names inscribed on surrounding tiles. For $25, they can buy a stone unearthed during the groundbreaking ceremony, packaged in purple and gold and described in the official literature as cool and looking great with your rock and roll memorabilia. For $250, you can have a CD-shaped piece of granite bearing Jimmy's authentic autograph. While for an extra sum, you can also buy a space around the memorial. When Jimmy died, he left no will, and thanks to his sinister manager, Mike Jeffries, who is rumored to have mob connections and was behind Hendrix's mysterious brief kidnapping in New York, his finances were virtually untraceable, squirreled away in various trusts and bogus bank accounts. To make matters worse, his recordings were left in the care of drug-addicted producer Alan Douglas, who proceeded to release a series of shoddy, previously unreleased, inferior music albums that even he clumsily overdubbed with session players. It took 25 years of litigation for Jimmy's father, Al, to gain control of his son's music and image, rather than have it besmirched by shysters and ripoff artists. In spite of his limited business acumen and background, he had been a landscape gardener. The now elderly and ill Al oversaw the establishment of Experience Hendrix to oversee the multi-million dollar earnings from CD and DVD sales, and the exclusive right to use of his son's image and music as he saw fit in advertising for any commercial purposes. He then appointed his adopted daughter, Janie, as executive director, leaving Jimmy's brother, Leon, out in the cold. Thus, beginning litigation between ex-drug addict, now musician, Leon, and the estate that was exacerbated when Al died and left everything to his ex-cosmetician daughter, Janie, leaving only one gold record to his son. Legal action still continues. Over the legitimacy of her appointment and her share of the massive profits. Then, after even more lawsuits, she has set up an official website, repackaged and re-released the Hendrix catalog, as well as quality strangely inappropriate... way to skip a line, John. Some quality, previously unreleased material, but as far as official merchandise is concerned, has made some strangely inappropriate decisions. Ties, coffee, air fresheners, golf balls, and energy drinks all feature the Hendrix brand. A red wine was briefly marketed but withdrawn after howls of protest. After all, Jimmy died by drowning on wine and prescription drugs. There is also a Hendrix vodka currently available and the subject of legal action once again. Imagine what, you know, if there is a rock and roll heaven, can you just imagine what Jimmy's doing, looking down, going, jeez, y'all are a mess. Talk about missing the point. Meanwhile, Jimmy's two male and female Norwegian illegitimate children have yet to receive any of their late father's fortune and continue unresolved legal proceedings against the estate. So it's a drama upon tragedy, family against family, that has been marked and marred Jimmy's legacy. But thankfully, the music remains a testimony to his genius and spirit. Remember him this way. And I couldn't agree more. I tell you, this is one of those nights that I wish Scott happened to be hanging about, because he would just be a fountain of Hendrix trivia. And, you know, I mean, the guy really, really was a genius. And one of the best three-piece bands, I mean, a rhythm section from absolute hell. Unbelievable stuff. But, you know, as the time was, there was a lot of drugs, there was a lot of drinking. But, you know, it's kind of can be the par for the course for some folks when they're artistic, you know. It's all that mind expansion stuff, and that, you know, I can understand where this kind of comes from. But, you know, it's... And what's interesting, on the very, very first comment on this blog post at the City Morning Herald, I love this, and I think it just kind of shows what the reverse can be to this situation. The first commenter says, "Thank God Frank Zappa's kids have done the right thing." And it's very, very true. It's kind of like chalk and cheese, the difference between the handling of legacies. In fact, in December, Dweezil Zappa and the Zappa Family Trust are coming to play at the Enmore Theater in southern Sydney, and I'm going to try my damnedest to go and see that gig, because there you have kind of this mad, you know, kind of all-stars of the mothers of invention from all through the history playing in one band led by Dweezil Zappa, who does an amazing job at covering his father's guitar work, along with Steve Vai, who sometimes I do say is a wanker, only because I think he, aside from when he's doing Zappa things, I think he can be a bit of an image nut, but got to be one of the greatest guitar players ever. And there was a really, really great Classic Albums episode. I don't know if you all get that series in the States. There's a really, really great series that we get here called Classic Albums, and they'll actually do an entire walkthrough of the recording of, say, Dark Side of the Moon or some such thing. And on the Zappa one, they did Shake Your Booty. And just, you actually would see from like a year ago this new version of the Mothers of Invention, which are all real, you know, a real original members fronted by Dweezil, and it's amazing, and I would love to see it live. But we have a track of the day to do, and that is Mr. Hendrix, because 37 years ago this week we lost one of the greatest musicians of the modern era. And this is one of my personal favorites. Just, I don't know, I love the rawness of this song. So without further ado, Jimi Hendrix, Hey Joe. Roll it, Agnes. We'll be right back.
have some shame. You must be losing your sweet mind.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds. And we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. I think I'm going to have to check the tagging on my files in the old Jimi Hendrix folder. That wasn't exactly what I was intending to play, but hey, who cares? It was still Jimi, and Jimi still rocks. I'm going, I didn't send that. Well, I guess I did. whatever. Welcome back to Fox Step, everybody. It's about 34 minutes past the hour, wherever you are. And yesterday, one of the things that I was ranting about was this whole B-52 incident and the nukes and whether one or whatever has gone missing and possible deaths of the crew and all this kind of stuff. Well, we found some more. And I know I'm kind of diving into dodgy territory possibly, but like I said about this yesterday, we have to be on our toes. We know that we're being set up for war with Iran, and that this government of ours will use any excuse that they can find to attack Iran and on a large scale. So there's many, many a link on today's show post. First thing here is from Dissident News, which is at dissidentnews.wordpress.com. This is a great blog, actually. A piece by Michael Sala, Ph.D., was a covert attempt to bomb Iran with nuclear weapons foiled by a military leak. And he starts out saying, on August 30th, a B-52 bomber armed with five nuclear-tipped advanced cruise missiles traveled from Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota to Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana. Each missile had an adjustable yield between 5 and 150 kilotons of TNT, which is at the lower end of the destructive capacities of U.S. nuclear weapons. For example, the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima had a yield of 13 kilotons, while the Bravo hydrogen bomb tested at a test of 1954 had a yield of 15,000 kilotons. So note, this is a small one, okay? When it comes to nukes, this is a small one, okay? A small one could be portrayed as something sent by a nation with a small arsenal. Continues on, the B-52 story was first covered in the Army Times on September 5 after the nuclear-armed aircraft was discovered by airmen. And there's a link to the Army Times. What made this a very significant event was that it was a violation of U.S. Air Force regulations concerning the transportation of nuclear weapons by air. Nuclear weapons are normally transported by air in specially constructed planes designed to prevent radioactive pollution in case of a crash. Such transport planes are not equipped to launch the nuclear weapons they routinely carry around the U.S. and the world for servicing or positioning. The discoverer of the nuclear-armed B-52 was, according to Hans Christensen, a nuclear weapons expert at the Federation of American Scientists, the first time in 40 years that a nuclear-armed plane had been allowed to fly over the U.S. with a link. Since 1968, after an SAC bomber crashed in Greenland, all nuclear-armed aircraft have been grounded but were kept on constant state of alert. At the end of the Cold War, President George H. Bush ordered in 1991 that nuclear weapons were to be removed from all aircraft and stored in nearby facilities. Yeah, remember the 90s when we started getting smart? Recently, the Air Force began decommissioning its stockpile of advanced cruise missiles. The five nuclear weapons on the B-52 were to be decommissioned and were to be taken to another Air Force base. An Air Force press statement issued on September 6 claimed that there was an error of which occurred during a regularly scheduled transfer of weapons between two bases. Furthermore, the statement declared the Air Force maintains the highest standards of safety and precision, so any deviation from these well-established munitions procedures is considered very serious. The issue concerning how a nuclear-armed B-52 bomber was allowed to take off and fly in U.S. airspace after an error in a routine transfer process is now subject to an official Air Force inquiry, which is due to be completed by September 14. Three quick key questions remain over the B-52 incident. First, why did Air Force personnel at Minot Air Force Base not spot the error earlier, given the elaborate security procedures in place to prevent such mistakes from occurring? Many military analysts have commented on the stringent security procedures in place to prevent this sort of mistake from occurring. Multiple officers are routinely involved in the transportation and loading of nuclear weapons to prevent the kind of error that allegedly occurred in the B-52 incident. Who was in charge of the incident? Who ordered the loading of advanced cruise missiles onto a B-52 in violation of Air Force regulations? The quick reaction of the Air Force and issuing of a public statement describing the seriousness of the issue and the launch of an immediate investigation suggests that whatever occurred was outside the regular chain of command. If the regular chain of command was violated, then we have to inquire as to whether the B-52 incident was part of a covert project whose classification level exceeded that held by officers in charge of nuclear weapons at Minot Air Force Base. The most obvious governmental entity that may have ordered the nuclear arming of the B-52 outside the regular chain of military command is the last remaining bastion of neoconservative activism, the Bush administration. Vice President Cheney has taken a very prominent role in covert military operations and training exercises designed for the seamless integration of different national security and military authorities to possible terrorist attacks. On May 2001, President Bush placed Cheney in charge of a federal program dealing with weapons of mass destruction, consequence management within the Departments of Defense, Health and Human Services, Justice and Energy, the Environmental Protection Agency, and other federal agencies. With a link at From the Wilderness, Cheney subsequently played a direct role in supervising training exercises that simultaneously occurred during the 9/11 attacks. Now, this goes on and gets, you know, why was it armed there, blah, 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 all this. Now, here's where it gets weird. We were hearing strange reports that the crew were ending up dead. Well, from a variety of blogs, the reports are coming back. Now, from Rents.com. Now, this is the second time recently that I've been to what is usually a bit of a right-wing site. And this can play into what Bob thinks is the whole play-up thing. I still want to keep a close eye on this because it's one of these things. If something happens, if, say, Boston gets done by a small nuclear device and they blame it on Iran, we need to make sure that this is out in the public domain for discussion and say we don't necessarily believe this. Now, from Rents, it says, there's a post here, the strange death of Todd Blue. The issue of deceased Airman Todd Blue is highly unusual, to say the least, and opens up a Pandora's box full of questions. At the time of Todd's death, he was under investigation for his possible role in the nuclear weapons that were loaded into a B-52 aircraft. If military personnel are under investigation at any base for crime, they will not be given any leave until the investigation is complete, and they are cleared. Yet Todd was given leave and was at home with his family, according to the obituary at the time of his death. It is also interesting that Todd isn't someone who's been in the Air Force for most of his life. Todd Blue is just 20 years old. Why wasn't his cause of death stated? Obituaries usually state something unless a death was the result of suicide. From at least one write-up about Todd, we know he was a caring person who helped people in their time of need. We may never know what Todd's role in the nuclear incident was, if he killed himself or it was made to look like he did, if it really was an accident, a sudden heart attack, etc. Unless a member of the family comes forward with what they know, until they do, they may be in grave danger as the bigger story here starts to unravel. If he actually did take his own life, then perhaps he couldn't live with what he knew. It's also important to note that it would be utterly and completely impossible for Todd to have removed several weapons from storage and load them onto an aircraft, as we shall see. Todd was an airman, which is not the same as an ordnance officer. And they go through, and he goes through the procedure of how you load one of these weapons up. From, sneak this one in before we go to the next break. From the AP via KXMC.com. Minot, North Dakota. Authorities have identified a Minot Air Force Base man killed in a crash on the outskirts of Minot. Base officials say 20-year-old Adam Bars was a passenger in a vehicle that failed to negotiate a curve, hit an approach, hit a tree, and started on fire late Tuesday night. Bars was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver is identified as a 20-year-old airman, Stephen Garrett. He was taken to Minot's Trinity Hospital in critical condition. Starting to get creeped out yet? And there's more, but we'll get to that when we come back. So it's coming up on about 44, 45 minutes past the hour. So stick around. I got a couple more of these reports of dead airmen. six of them, all from these two bases where this plane went and came from. So stick around, folks. You're listening to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice, keeping an eye on the powers that be and not letting them get away with shit. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll take a look at John Lennon's Thanksgiving 1974 onstage appearance with Elton John, marking the end of John's lost weekend.
That's when Yoko and I got back together, the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden.
Be there this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Whatever gets you through the night.
This is Bill Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Miriam Jukaku is a 24-year-old graduate student in journalism at Syracuse University. After her photography class on September 6th, she started to do her homework, which was to take pictures around campus. As she walked to her car, she passed the VA hospital, so she tried out her camera, taking pictures of the VA entrance and the flags hanging above it. All of a sudden, a security guard came running out and told her she couldn't do that. The guard demanded that Jukaku hand over her camera and then proceeded to delete some of her photographs. Another guard came out and they took her into a little office marked police. They asked for her student ID and her driver's license. Meanwhile, one of the guards kept deleting more photos from her camera. Then they asked her whether she's a U.S. citizen. She is. She was born in Michigan. It was at that point that Jukaku began to wonder whether the fact that she's Muslim and was wearing a headscarf was the reason she was being harassed for simply taking photographs while standing on a sidewalk. After they let her go, Jukaku was distraught, breaking down in tears when she called her journalism professor to tell him what had just happened. Her take on the whole matter now? Intimidating a student, snapping some photographs of the American flag, doesn't protect the public, she says, and it certainly doesn't protect democracy. She's certainly right about that. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Everybody, remembering Jimi Hendrix today and Foxy. You know, there's been a couple of times that I've worked for a band here and there and come walking in the venue and had the band play it as an intro. It's been a reoccurring joke throughout my career, but hey. So ELO in the chat room is telling me that one of these stories that I've got, actually, I might be way off. One of these is actually the death was reported July 20th before the flight, and I'm being a bit accused of some conjecture here. And I openly say I am doing so, okay? But this story needs to be dug into in a big way, and this one's worrying me. And could, you know, what would Bob do if he was producing today? He'd be typing in the chat saying, you know, this could all be the covert information campaign to build the thing up. And that could also be true. And this is why we have to be so on our toes, because we know that we're posturing to go into Iran. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, bloody, you know, Satan kangaroo, bloody Bolton was on telly yesterday just kind of like almost drooling going, let's bomb the sons of bitches. And, you know, and in fact, I've been meaning to email the ABC because, you know, they introduced him as, you know, former, you know, UN ambassador. But he was never actually approved, was he? I wish they would say the never approved ambassador to the United Nations. The guy who was installed for a time. Now, I know Lottie was trying to chase up stories on this whole thing. There are links to all of these airmen deaths on today's show post. I would like as much more information to come my way as anyone can find, either that supports or tosses out any of these reports. There's a lot of noise on the web about this. Now, the stuff from Dissident News is undeniable, okay? This flight did happen. It did break the rules. This should never have happened. And not this should never have happened that, oh my God, we made a mistake. Like I said, my brother-in-law was a B-52 crew chief, and I used to hear of the procedures that they go through for everything. And when it comes to when it comes to, you know, the whole sorry, I lost my spot. I was sitting there paying attention in the chat room. I hate when I do that. I thought I saw my name, someone talking to Joe, but that's all right. But the thing is, this is, you know, I can tell you that this is not the kind of thing that could happen by accident. There are too many safety valves when things are done through channels. So this piece here at Dissident News from this PhD, Mr. Michael Sala, is spot on. And I've looked at the security procedures listed on the RENTS site, and those are pretty bloody accurate from what I know. This doesn't, like I said, this does not happen by mistake. This is not an accident that can happen, okay? It has to be intentional. There's no other way. And, you know, I can't believe that we're hearing these discussions again of legitimate use of nuclear weapons. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. I really thought we had grown up. But obviously, just like with almost all social issues, it seems like we've gone backwards to 1950. You know, where we're, you know, having nooses in trees to scare blacks off, where we have, you know, redistricting of school zones by race, where we have, you know, the gay bashing that we have, where we have, you know, all this enlightenment that we went through over a couple of decades has just gone right out the window. It makes no sense. And it's insane. I mean, this whole thing just strikes me so of we're going to have something else happen in our country. And I'm not going to start going down the whole 9/11 thing. However, no matter what happened on that day, that event was used to illegally get us into Iraq. What is going to stop this administration from using some other event or manufacturing one and using it as an excuse to go into Iran, which is where they want to go? And it keeps turning out more and more, this is a resource war. All of this is a resource war. Because the American economy has been too slow to get its stupid, lazy, disgusting, dirty ass off of fossil fuels, that if we don't go and invade these places, which some people on the right will openly admit, our economy will shut down. It's just insanity. Absolute insanity. And I want to keep a real eye on this. Like I said, folks, check out the links that I've got at the show post. Send me emails, leave comments telling me what you may have found. Like I said, I want to keep a really, really close eye on this. And before we run out of time, over at The Guardian on Comment is Free, there's a post, and I don't have it in front of me. Gail was telling me, though, there's a post there, and I think it's about the build-up to Iran. And there's a comment from a guy whose father was a diplomat who met Cheney one-on-one a couple of times throughout his political career, his ambassadorships. And he was rather convinced that Dick Cheney is certifiably insane. He said, upon meeting the man, he was convinced the guy is crazy. Bat shit crazy. And I'll leave it there. So thanks to Agnes Kincaid for producing the program today. Thanks to our bloggers and our mods for everything that they do for us. We'd be lost without you. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions for the music. And thanks to all of you for spending your time with me every day. Stick around. Joe Vecchio coming up, the working man's thinking man. He'll be waking you up if I didn't. So be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
Than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And
I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness. The loneliness of being misunderstood.
This is the Quality News Network. Approval ratings for both President Bush and Congress are at a record low. That, according to a Reuters-Zogby poll released this morning, only 11% of Americans say Congress is doing a good job. 29% of those polled approved of the president's performance. In Baghdad, U.S. civilians have been sequestered in the heavily fortified Green Zone following the Iraqi government's suspension of the embassy's private security force, Blackwater. Blackwater guards are under investigation for a gunfight and airstrike in a Baghdad neighborhood Sunday that killed as many as 20 civilians. Blackwater is also under investigation by a congressional committee for allegedly smuggling illegal weaponry into Iraq. The probe is part of a larger examination of possible security lapses in the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. A major military operation was launched this morning in southern Afghanistan's largest poppy-growing province. More than 2,500 NATO and Afghan troops are involved. In addition, NATO says it's investigating a shipment of high-tech weapons confiscated earlier this month at the border between Afghanistan and Iran. Armor-piercing shells commonly used in roadside bombs were included in the seizure. In Cambodia, a leading commander of the genocidal Khmer Rouge regime was arrested today and will stand trial before the country's UN-backed war crimes tribunal. More than 2 million people were murdered during Pol Pot's dictatorship. Typhoon Weifaw slammed into eastern China this morning, soaking coastal areas and knocking out power to tens of thousands. Forecasters downgraded the storm as it moved inland. No casualties were reported. The Federal Reserve yesterday lowered its overnight interest rate by half a point to 4.75%. The Dow reacted with its biggest gain in 5 years. Money markets were lifted around the world. Officials in Riverside, New Jersey, have rescinded an ordinance that would have penalized landlords and employers who house or hire illegal immigrants.